Good morning, all. This morning we're reading from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was attested to be righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him.
Praise
God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Malcolm. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe in God to speak to us today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Anything we receive by God is in the Spirit, must be received in the Spirit and received by faith. So he speaks to us. We're doing a series on the whole year is a year of ever increasing faith. We are a church that increases in faith and love.
Yes.
And so, thank you. We're a church that increases in faith and love.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So we finally got round to Hebrews 11. Because, hallelujah. Because I know when we started this, a bunch of you were expecting us just to start on Hebrews 11. Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much, yeah. And I can tell you a story. When I first went to Bible college, my sister, who had been a few years before me, younger sister, and I might say she's a fair bit prettier than me, which is just as well, and she said, you'll enjoy Doug Jones, he's one of the lecturers, because you'll learn what faith is. And, you know, me being the... proud, 30-year that I was. I know what faith is. She said, whatever. And when I got there, it took me probably about 2 weeks to unpack what I thought faith was. And then all of a sudden, the penny just dropped. And I went, oh, man, what have I been doing all my life, you know? It's good to stay humble, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought you could have got to 30 and not known everything there was to know about God? I thought I had, And so we get to Hebrews 11, 1, and it did concern me a bit because he started to say Hebrews 11, 1 is not a definition of faith. Come on. That's all I'd heard all my life. And then I thought, over the last few years, I thought, well, it's basically just him and me now that believes that Hebrews 11 was. And then you'll be relieved to know that I was doing some Googling and watching during the week, and there was a Calvary Chapel. Now, Calvary Chapel came out of, the Jesus movie that we saw. And the Calvary Chapel minister got up there to teach on faith, turned to Hebrews 11, 1. He said, now, this isn't a definition of faith. Well... are you ready? Christy's about to go, you heretic, I always knew. I knew you were. I've had my suspicions. You were thinking that, weren't you? You're saying, I'm going to stay in the buggy and just wait. You're going to give me the next half hour, aren't you? All right. So, nevertheless, we're in Hebrews 11, and this is the second last sermon of the series. Next week, Chloe is preaching. And that's why I don't give her the pulpit that often. Next week, and I'll wrap up this little booklet we've got. We've got a study booklet out there, but we're going to a new series called Reasons for Faith or Foundations of Faith, because we've been talking really about it for a few months now. Now we're going to start giving you really good reasons for why you can trust God in whatever situation or whatever circumstance you're in. We're starting to get to the meat of it. But we're in Hebrews 11 now. And Timothy says, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said to be careful to rightly divide the word of truth. And if you've got to be careful to rightly divide it, then you can wrongly divide it.
Yeah.
And the Bible really should, in most instances, just be taken on its surface value. It takes a theologian to mess up a lot of the scriptures. But a good way of doing it is to look at the start, because it's explained simply. Go to the end, because it's explained simply. And then read the rest of it from the light of that. So in the case of Hebrews 11, whoever wrote it, and for centuries it was called Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. A lot of scholars don't think it was Paul because he didn't name himself, but then a lot of people think it was, because Paul, the Hebrews had issues with Paul because he was sort of telling them there was no need for the law and all that sort of stuff. But nevertheless, Hebrews 11 really starts the few verses into Hebrews 10.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't really finish, a wrap up to a few verses into Hebrews 12, and we'll talk about that. But just in the bigger picture, rightly dividing the word of truth. For example, when you want to find out, to understand the Bible, there's certain themes that we have that go through the Bible, and I've written this as really part of our New Christians thing. It's essential discipleship. And no, that's not the one I wanted. I wanted themes of the Bible. Yeah, there's essential themes of the Bible, and it helps. That's a little booklet I've written to help us understand the themes. But with understanding or reading scripture, we don't need it now, but it should be out there. So someone need it later. So for example, you know, when we were created, God looked at what was created and it was good.
Yeah.
Was there poverty in the garden?
Yeah.
Was there sickness in the garden?
Yeah.
Did they have a life purpose? They did. Yes. They had to rule and reign on the earth. And that's how God created.
Yeah.
And then you go to the end, you go to the last chapter, and it says, and there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more death, there will be no more mourning. And that's how it will go on for eternity, right? So sin stuffed it up in the middle. And all the stuff-ups in the middle basically are caused by Satan, one way or another. And so a lot of Hebrews is actually about that, because it's actually points to Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 1, I was going to do this later, but I've wandered over there, so I might as well. Hebrews 1, it says, long ago and in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers, the prophets. Long ago, many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers, the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, who is appointed the heir of all things, and whom he created the world. He is the radiant glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So at the beginning, you've got how God wanted the earth and us. And at the end, you've got how God wants it to be. And in the middle, Jesus walks in and says, if God was a man, this is what he would look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen?
Good.
And the Bible says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of God. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed
of the devil.
And he said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you may have life. And there's some religious teaching that says, well, God will kill, steal, and destroy just to make you look good. I don't know about that. Jesus prayed, let thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. If that's his will now, then that's going to be his will in heaven. And so he'll make you suffer in heaven just so he looks good. Uh-uh.
No way.
Nah, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. It just takes religion to complicate it. It really does. And so you look at the start and you go to the end and you say, that's what God wants it to be. When Satan's all bound, that's how it will be. That's how it was before the fall.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what it's like when Jesus walked in and he said, this is what God would do in this situation. That's it.
Yeah, that's good.
That's simple.
Yeah.
Not complicated. It's not rocket science. It takes a theologian to stuff it up. It really does. What we believe is extremely important, and this chapter emphasizes how important it is, and we'll talk why that in a minute. But it also says, in times of old, God spoke to prophets partially. Right? And later on in Hebrews 11, it says they knew partially. So we have to be very careful when when something in the Old Testament's written, to understand that that author has partial knowledge.
Yeah.
Job is commended for his patience, not his faith. All right. He didn't have the new covenant. He didn't even have the old covenant. He didn't even have Genesis. But he believed what? He believed, in the end, I know my Redeemer lives.
Yeah.
And he will stand on the earth. And that's what he got.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So we need to understand, and we need to look at, when we read scriptures, Old Testament, we need to look at it at, in the light of the death and the resurrection of Jesus on this our side of the cross. The Gospels are what God looked like in person. The epistles are the mind of God for us.
Yeah.
And we get our doctrine from the epistles.
Yeah.
All right? And then we look back and we interpret, right? And that's what Hebrews is saying. In times past, in various ways, God spoke to these prophets. All right? So they didn't know everything, but they had faith that something was coming.
Yeah.
And they knew something was coming.
Yeah.
And we have the fullness in Jesus. He didn't muck around with sin, but he didn't condemn people. And we, guys, we have to learn to treasure our faith. And, you know, we're part of a certain channel. I don't know what our church, where you'd put us. We've come under certain coverings because it's important. We answer to Ray Municipal Association and Pastor Margaret Court, you know, but, you know, are we Word of Faith? No, I tell folks, don't say we're Word of Faith, you know. Are we Pentecostal? Well, we are, but, you know, we just believe the Bible.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I've got many fathers. We were trained under, Linda and I were trained under Kenneth E. Hagin, and an amazing testimony. We've got some amazing books. But that's not the, you know, there's a lot of wisdom out there, even outside of our movie, you understand?
Yeah.
So this last week, Reverend Tim Keller, who knows Tim Keller?
Yeah.
Right, he went to be with the Lord, and Linda and I have just fed off a lot of his things over the decades. He was a reformed Presbyterian minister, and I've learned a lot from him, and that's all right. You know, and I've read a lot from Bishop N.T. Wright, an Anglican bishop. And I've read a lot growing up, especially from C.S. Lewis. Who's loved C.S. Lewis growing up, right? And then Saddleback, Rick Warren in Saddleback. You know, Rick Warren, he's Baptist. He is at the moment. They're going to kick him out because he allows women preachers. I know. He needs to read my book,
yeah.
Commending Phoebe. But, you know, we need to be at least as smart as a dumb cow. At least as smart as a dumb cow. Because even a cow will eat the hay and spit out the sticks.
Yeah.
True?
True.
So when we feed off, you know, we need to respect and we don't criticize. Like, I wouldn't go to Tim Keller to find out things about healing or whatever. He was never really big in that. And that's fine. Or baptism, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But I respect him. I'm not going to criticize him.
Yeah.
Don't get into criticizing other ministers. The Bible says not to. It says, who are you to criticize another man's servant?
Yeah.
All right? Because if you do that, it's going to come back to you.
Yeah.
There's, guys, there's things I taught a few years ago I don't believe now. You're going to go back through all those sermons, aren't you? But we grow, don't we?
Yeah.
I had this great conversation with, where is she? Kerry, on Wednesday, she made me, I said to her, you made me go back and dig through my Bible. You know, and that's a good thing. Eat the hay, spit out the sticks.
Yeah.
But our faith is precious, and this chapter talks about how precious it is and the purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why we've got hallelujah. So you've got Hebrews 11:1, turn it there with you. Turn it there and work with me, thank you. Hebrews 11, the whole chapter answers this question. Now, I understand Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, Hebrews 11:2, the ancients or the men of God gained approval. Right? But Hebrews 11 answers a question. And in our area of the church, and a lot of areas of the church, we get that definition of faith and we go around and we apply it for prosperity, and that's good. God does, and we apply it for health, and that's good. And we apply it when we're looking for a job, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. And all these ancients, they applied their faith when they needed things. That's good. But that's not what this chapter was written for.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm sorry. Now, it's true that faith for financial provision is the evidence of things not seen. It's a proof. But that's not why this chapter was written for. This chapter answers the question, guys, what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah.
This chapter answers the question, when you die and you give an account for your life before God, will it matter? That's what this question, this chapter asks and answers. And guys, sports fans, that's a whole lot bigger whether you've got leather seats in your car, isn't it? That's a whole lot bigger whether you've got an ulcer in your mouth. And God can deal with all those things, that's fine. But you know, when you get to the end, and you come before God the Father, you're not going to ask yourself, he's not going to say, well, now, did you have vinyl seats or leather seats? Did you have wind-up windows in the back? You know, and you can use your faith for all of those things, that's fine, but it's Mickey Mouse in the end. Because this question, this chapter asks you, when you die, what will your testimony be? And it's a very... it's very legal. It starts off very legally and it explains the legalities of faith. And you might think, well, God's not legalistic. Yeah, he's not legalistic in the sense that he's not going to judge you by every little dot that you did, but he's righteous. He judges sin. The wrath of God is poured out against sin on Christ, so that he doesn't have to pour it out on sinners. So he weighs up justice. The eternity, the kingdom of God is just. And we read the story, and we read it last week, of the Syrophoenician, the lady, the Gentile lady, and she goes, Jesus, son of David. Well, she was claiming a covenant, and he says to her, you've got no right to that covenant. Remember C.S. Lewis? Remember Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? And Aslan's killed, and then he gets up and he says, but there's a deeper truth. And there's a deeper truth about covenant with God, is that this Syrophoenician woman, she didn't have a divinic covenant with Jesus. She couldn't claim that. But then she said, by faith, even the dogs under the table, and all of a sudden that stepped it up a gear. Now all of a sudden that changed things, because they said, well, you're not claiming to have a divinity, you're claiming to believe God. That's different.
That's right.
Now we're talking, baby. Now we're talking. Now I can move on your behalf. So God's got to move justly. And this uses very legal terms, and we'll talk about it. The first two verses are very legal in their terminology, and most translations miss it. Amplified, we're going to look at in a minute, gets it. But it gives an outline of the purpose of faith, what it's there for. It gives an example of Abel and Enoch and why, how God uses faith. And then it summarizes by says, anyone to please God, you must come to him in faith. You believe that he is, and he rewards those who seek you. And then he goes through the great roll call of heroes of faith and gives lots of examples. And you know, it's called the roll call of faith, or the heroes of faith, and you gotta love it. He just goes through what they did, and you read their life, and it's interesting. Like it says, by faith Jacob blessed, all right. And I used to think, even up to recently, because I spent a lot of time this week just meditating on the scripture, asking for light. That's a good thing to do, you understand?
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. And it occurred to me that Jacob was aware that the fullness of God's purpose on his life wasn't going to be fulfilled in his lifetime. So he commanded that blessing on his sons. So by faith, he blessed them. By faith, it says, Joseph gave instructions to his about his bones. He said, I may die in Egypt, but I'm not going to stay in Egypt because there's a promised land for me. And so he said his bones had to be carried back to the promised land. That was by faith.
Yes.
Now, they only had a little bit of light. We've got a lot more light we can walk in, guys. A lot more. And it goes through the heroes of faith. Anyone been to the Australian War Memorial?
Yeah.
I tear up in the Australian. Who tears up in the Australian? I'm like, I go into that right in the middle, there's that Victoria Cross section. And I'm like a blubbering baby in that section. I read the testimonials of what they did. It's the testimonial of their life. And if you're anything like me, you think, would I have the courage to do that? But this is what was written about their life. In the end. And Hebrews 11 is about, in the end, what's going to matter. What mattered for Moses? What mattered for Abraham? What mattered for Sarah? What mattered for Samuel? What mattered for Barak? In the end, what did they do with the faith that they had that echoes for eternity? And that's what it's talking about. So we bring it down. We read Hebrews 11:1 like it's a trite little scripture so we can, you know, claim God for this job or that car or that house. And you can use it to do that, but it's bigger. It's asking the question, what are you going to do with your life? How is it going to matter? So in Hebrews 11:1, the first two verses, we'll come back to those, but they really are a legal statement, and we'll talk about that. But then in verse 3, he says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are not visible, was not made out of things that are visible. So he's framing what faith does. He's framing the purpose of faith in God and faith in his promises is to take things which are unseen, not visible, and to bring them into manifestation in this life. You got that? And so any promise we have and when we've got faith in that promise, the fact that you see it or don't see it, it's got nothing to do with it. It's not a sign whether God wants it or doesn't want it, because the role of that, the purpose of it, is to take what is not seen, what God has for us, his promise for us, and to bring it into existence. By faith we know that God created what is not seen by the word of his mouth.
Yeah.
He spoke it and brought from unseen things, created what is seen.
Yeah.
And then it talks about Abel, you know. Cain and Abel. You know the story of Cain and Abel. We go into there straight after Adam and Eve, and they were to give a sacrifice to God. And the scripture says here that Abel's sacrifice was pleasing to God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Well, Cain, they were bringing a sacrifice to God, and Abel took the firstborn, you know, like Elisa's testimony, you know, tithing off the first.
Yeah.
Took the firstborn and took the best part of it and offered it to God. And, you know, you can't make a sheep. Right? And the sheep gave his life. And Abel knew the power of sin, and he knew that blood was going to have to be shed for it. And he knew that it would cost God the most precious thing he had to pay for our sins, so he could only give the most precious thing. That was Abel. Cain, on the other hand, just went through the field, chopped a bit of wheat, chopped up, threw it on the altar.
Yeah.
And the Bible says God accepted Abel's and rejected Cain's. He said it still speaks. Still speaks because it spoke of Jesus. And so he had faith that a Redeemer was coming. He had faith in that. And later in Hebrews, it says, but the blood of Jesus speaks stronger than Abel because it speaks for an eternity. So he introduces the idea of salvation and our faith for salvation. Then it goes on to Enoch. And we know Enoch was down the line a little bit, but Enoch, the Bible says, pleased God. It says he walked with God and pleased God, and then he was not. He was taken into heaven. So I'm pretty sure what the writer of Hebrews and the Holy Spirit saying here is that once you get this idea that Jesus pays for you, then it pays for your sacrifice, that you're clean, then it's unlimited. Where you can go with this and walking with God, if you're prepared to pay the price, put down the flesh, then you'll please God, and where you go with him is unlimited. And Enoch had that. He walked with God and he just walked over into heaven. That's pretty good. It's unlimited where you can go. That's verse 4. Verse 5. So that was verse 5. Then verse 6, it says this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who seek him. And it outlines the very basis of our understanding of any foundation for faith. God is, that means God is present. He is with us. His eyes are towards us. He's on you. God is. And that when you seek him, he rewards it. That's the basis of that. All right. And so then we go through Hebrews, and it talks about all the great things they all did, and we'll wrap that up in a minute. We'll talk about that right at the end. But we're going to talk about this first few verses because they're very legal. So do we have Joshua, Hebrews 11, 1? Look at that. How good's that? Praise God. Thank you. And I like this because it talks about there's three things really in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. There's the right to own something, which you don't see. There's the proof that you own it. And there's the outcome of owning it. And we'll start at the way, sometimes it's good to go backwards. But it says in verse 2, for by this kind of faith, the men of old, or the old saints, gained divine approval. Now that word is the same word as a witness or a testimony. And basically it means when their life was summed up. When God testified to the purpose that they lived on earth and what they did that was to last for eternity, it was whatever had come through the faith that they had in God. And when it goes through all of these people, we know Samson. We know Samson fell horribly, don't we? Do you know what falling into sin qualifies you for? Grace. But Samson's life turned around, and at the end, He brought down the evil nation by act of faith, which cost him his life. And it says, by faith, they received this document, this testimony. And it's like, you know, you study, go to university or high school, and you come to the end and you get a certificate, all right, or a bachelor's degree or something like that. And it says, that is your testimony. That's what you've achieved. And at the end of our life, we're going to have a testimony of what we've achieved. Anything done outside of grace and faith is going to be burned up. Don't worry, we're not going to bring that into heaven. Isn't that good news? All right. But what we will have is this testimony of what we've achieved through in God, by his grace, by believing and trusting in him. And so it's a legal thing that they have. That this witness, this testimony, God testified, this is what they've done. This is what they've achieved. All right? Through faith. So that's a legal standing. But in verse 1, it says faith. Normally says faith is the assurance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I brought this one up, this amplified, because it says here, faith is the title deed. And again, I'm saying this is a legal document. They didn't really understand why the meaning of the word until some decades ago. They were excavating some property, and they found this messed up document. They couldn't really get the full meaning of it, but evidently it was this guy was trying to get away with taxes. And so apparently back then they were trying to get away about paying taxes, and so he'd undervalued his property. He'd undervalued the land. And so this letter was coming back and said, I've looked at your title deed on this property and you've undervalued it. And so they understood, because the word actually means foundation, but it means that which is seen, which upholds what, that which is not seen, which upholds or is proof of that which is seen. Okay? So faith or will be seen. So faith is the title deed to God's promises. If you've accepted a word of God as being true, then you own that. It's yours. You may not see it yet. You may know that it's still to come, but it's yours. Because you believe God. So faith is the title deed of things that are not seen in the spiritual realm. So if you have a promise of God for your life and where you're going or for your kids or for your job or for your business, if you got the faith, if you got the promise that you're holding on to, you have the legal right to have that. So the woman with the issue of blood and pressing through the crowd, because it says she said, if I but touch his cloak, it says she heard, she believed. She had the legal right then for healing. You're not twisting God's arm to trust him. Do you understand that? Just get that religious, well, you can't twist God's arm. You may have heard. You may have heard. And then it says, I'm not to sound sarcastic. Be like Jesus. She said, I'm trying to be like Jesus, darling. Just say, you may have heard. You're twisting God's arm. You're not twisting God's arm to trust him for what he's promised you.
Yeah.
What, has he changed his mind? I really shouldn't have. I'm trying to say it sarcastically. You think God thinks maybe I shouldn't have written that promise in the Bible? Because these people are actually believing me. And you believe it, then spiritually you own it. It's yours, baby.
Amen.
Right. All right? And then it says it is also the proof. Well, why do you need proof? Now, we're getting Christians going for permanent residence, and it's got to be a recommendation written by people that have known him for a little while. They have to be Australian citizens. Well, I'm an Australian citizen. I've got, just before I go too much further, I'd like to say my lawn really needs mowing. I just put that out there. All right. So I have the right to make your recommendation or not. I love this. I have got a right, you know. But when I go down there to make that claim, I went down there the other day, but I didn't take proof of my identity. I did. I actually took my driver's license, but it had to be decked and signed and stamped. So faith then not only is the legal right, it's the proof. Now, why do you need proof? You need proof when Satan comes knocking at your door and says, this is not for you. This is not for you. You can say, ha, ha, ha. What do you say, Brother Paul? Ha, ha, ha. Ha, I've got news for you. Not only do I have the right, I've got proof. Because even though my head might be screaming, my emotions might be yelling, I know this promise.
Yeah.
And you can say, put that in your face, bait breath. Split foot. Ha, ha, ha. I've got proof. All right, this is my proof. So the purpose of faith is what you believe. It's a firm conviction. It's a persuasion, which is based really spiritual faith on what you've heard, the promises of God. All right. Now, weak faith can be on what you see, and you can start from there and progress, but that's all right. Faith is a strong, it's a conviction. It's a persuasion. And that conviction, that persuasion is your title deed. It says, I have the right to this promise. And when weapons come against you and doubt comes against you and the circumstances come against you, we know that's going to happen because Jesus said it would. Jesus even said it will come against you for the sake of what you believe in the parable of the sower. He'll bring it against you, test you, and say, "No, I've got the title deed. It's proof that that's mine." You might as well give up Satan. Go and tease someone who's not as persuaded about it. You're going to have more luck with them. All right? And from that title deed, and from that proof, you will have a testimony of your life. And that testimony starts with little things like Elise's testimony. What was that? An encouraging testimony.
Yes.
It was a big one. We lived through that. It was a big one back then, but it's an encouraging testimony because she had the title deed. She used it as proof. And it proved her and gave her a testimony. Hebrews 11:1, guys, is about how faith works.
Yeah.
How it works. Not what it is, how it works.
Yeah.
It defines faith by its use.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And we can take that. And we can take it to the spiritual bank. And we can stand on promises that we have not yet seen and watch them come into pass. And it's got a whole bunch more, guys, to do. I mean, I love having provision. Who knows? Bless, you need enough to give some stuff to your grandkids. And, you know, you want to bless them and all those things. They're all good things. But this is way bigger than that. They're all steps on the way. They're hurdles on the journey. Because in Hebrews, just turn with me, will you, to Hebrews 32, Hebrews 11, verse 32. It says this: "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, all right, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, like Daniel, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, chains and imprisonment. By faith they were stoned. They were sawn in two." Guys, this, you don't need to be a prophet or whatever. We are coming to the end times. And there will be times in some of our lives we're going to have to ask ourselves, that who is our Lord and Savior and what he did for me, and will I make a stand? And there's people all over the world now that are doing this by faith. You know, by faith, some of us are going to have to lay down our lives. And it's getting closer. I mean, we can believe for financial blessing, we can believe for provision, but in the end, each of us are going to have to lay down our lives one way or another. And we're going to do that by faith. Guys, this is not a child's play. You know, God's not there for us to pull like a puppet on a string and make him jump to our, you know, we're there to serve him. And we have these promises that are going to help us. And by faith, they achieved promises, but they were also mistreated. They went about as sheep, verse 37, they went about in skins of sheep, goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, by whom this world was not worthy. This world isn't worthy of you. And we make a stand whenever we go out there, and we stand for Christ in our workplace, and we stand for this, you know. We don't go around condemning people. We just stand for the truth, you understand?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And all these things, they were commended through their faith. They received their witness through their faith. and did not receive what is promised, and they didn't receive, they don't have what we have, since God provided something better for us. And we need to understand that we're living in a time now where we have things they never dreamed of having. We have the blood of Jesus shed for us. We have the name of Jesus that we can use in prayer. All these things they dreamed of having, we have, that through us they are going to be made perfect. And then we come to the other book. And at the beginning, I didn't get there, but at the beginning, in the end of Hebrews 10, it starts with where we started in this series. It says, the righteous shall live by their faith. And then we get to the end. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which so closely clings to us closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross. This is the second song. Can we do the second song? Despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of God. What are we going to do? Hebrews 11:1, you know, this great chapter on faith, it's wonderful, but really, it's just asking the question, what are we going to do with our life? What are we going to do with this gospel that God's given us, guys? You know, this great, precious promise that the blood of Jesus was shed for us to make us righteous. What are we going to do now that they never had? They never had the name of Jesus. We've got the name of Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. He said, all authority's been given to me. Yeah. You speak that name. It's not idle. You speak that name in circumstances and understand that there's all authority behind that name. And what are we going to do this week? What are we going to do with a life that matters? And you need to understand this. It's about laying down your life. I've asked God for 30 more years in ministry. That might surprise you. That'll take me through to being 50. That'll take me through to 90, and then I want to sort of step back. Take a little bit easy after that. But that's 30 years. But I'm just part of, out of what we do, Lynn and I do, is going to birth other ministries. And I'm part of what God did through Brother Hagen and Tim Keller and all that. And you're part of what you've got is part of what God's doing here and what he's going to do. And your life matters.
Yeah.
Don't put it down, what God did for you. It's important. You're important. Your life matters. As we make this stand in faith, we go, when I go to work, when I stand today, what do I believe about what God's done for me? What's the promise I'm standing on? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all men. All authority's been given to me. And so we speak to those demons, those lying things, and say, get away from us. We speak to circumstances because we're plowing ahead with what God's called us to do.
Amen?
Amen. And he's got a call on your life that is bigger. It's as big as Enoch's. We can walk with him. You can't limit it.
Yeah.
And what you do will echo for eternity.
Amen.
We learn to stand on his promises. Yeah. Hallelujah. Stand up.